What's going on, my friend? This is Alex Pardo, and we're back with episode 344 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. What's up? What's up? I am looking forward to today's masterclass with Jason Palliser. Jason is somebody who I have known probably going back to 2009. We've actually lost touch, and my good friend and team member Adrian has reconnected us. And I wanted to talk to him because I see what Jason has been doing online. He's a sought after off-market acquisition specialist, and he's got a very unique unfair advantage in that, you know, really big hedge funds and large companies hire him because of his marketing expertise, because of his ability to generate leads offline. And so he gets to test and deploy marketing channels and test strategies that most people either don't have the budget for or don't have the expertise and knowledge to be able to pull off. And so on today's episode, he's actually going to dive in and share a handful of off-market lead gen strategies that you guys can deploy regardless of the market you're in. This is actually only like five or six he's going to talk about out of 32 that he has. From there, we're going to transition and talk about negotiations, how you guys can close more deals. His strategies are responsible for acquiring over 32,000 off-market investment properties, and that number continues to rise. Somebody who's been in the business 17 plus years. He's also a national speaker, and just somebody that you're going to learn a tremendous amount from. So make sure you take some notes. I think this is going to be a jam-packed episode for you, and let's dive right in. Jason, what's going on, my man? It is awesome to reconnect with you after what, 10 plus years we were just talking about?
It's been a while. Yeah, good to see you too. You're looking sexy.
Thank you. Same to you, my man. Same to you. So you and I have a very close mutual friend, Adrian Luau, and he reconnected us here. So it's good to see what you've been doing, man, lately. It's we haven't talked in a while, and it's always good to see an old face doing big things. So what's been going on on your side of things lately?
Really just what we've been doing for 20 plus years. Closing out deals. Our whole philosophy and systematic approach to real estate is getting to everything first. So just closing out deals, mostly I would say 70% wholesaling, 20% Airbnb. We've fallen in love with the Airbnb model, and then 10% flips. Okay. And doing it in 138 plus cities for big companies. So just running the machine.
Very interesting. So before we get into that, what's your background, man? How'd you, what were you doing before real estate? How'd you end up getting into this game?
Before entering the real estate investment space, so for 24 years, what I've done the longest is specialty investment funding, private funding, and ultimately over the last 16 years, hard money as well. And so I started out doing investment funding, and where I kind of transitioned into investing was, and I know when I say this, the people listening and yourself included, or if you know somebody that has been a loan officer to some degree or whatever, at one point I was number one in the United States with two national banks. It's hard enough to be for one of them, two at simultaneously for investment funding. Wow. I learned every investment program that there was. So I was closing loans for investors that felt stuck. They would come to me and they're like, "Hey, I heard you know every program." And so obviously I'm making money doing loans at the height of my gluttony. I was doing 40 or 50 a month, but I would walk away from closing, Alex, with making $2,000 or $3,000 and then be like, hey, thanks, Jason. Super appreciate it. High five me. Give me a little gift or whatever. And they'd walk out with $40,000. So after about 3 years of that, I'm like,
yeah,
what the F? Like,
what's going on here?
I got all the funding, which is what they freak out about and what they need. So I decided that I would start investing myself. And so I threw my hat in the ring. And when I first started, I pretty much did everything wrong. Like, I was literally, before YouTube was available, right? I would have been a walking how not to video. But I didn't give a crap. I was pounding away, right?
You want to know what, man? I really appreciate and respect people that say that, don't just share the wins, but are you know, say, hey, man, because you and I are the same way. When I got in this business, man, I made every mistake under the sun. And we're in a business where we still were able to make money, you know, but this can be a very forgiving business, and it can punish you if you don't know what you're doing. But I'm happy to hear you say that, hey, it wasn't all rainbows and sunshines, that you made a ton of mistakes starting out too, because we still make mistakes, right?
Oh my God, we could do like 2 or 3 follow-up podcasts about all the things I did wrong, like closing in my personal name because I didn't give a crap, right? I didn't care. Getting sued on a property because somebody fell on the porch and I freaked out. And they sued me for $670,000. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's like twice my net worth. Holy crap, way back when, right? And but they sued me for the exact amount of my insurance policy. They're like, oh, they do that. I didn't know any of these things. Doing the wrong deals, you name it. Yeah, so we could definitely have fun with that.
Got it, man. And this was, I'm guessing you said prior to the YouTube days, so this was what, late 90s, early 2000s?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Correct. Got it.
And then, so how did you end up transitioning into, you mentioned you're working with over 130 companies, I think hedge funds are some of them. Let's hit the fast forward button. What does a business look like today? You said 70% wholesale. You're doing about 20% Airbnb, 10% fix and flip, and you're also working with large companies. What exactly does that look like?
Yeah, so I started investing, started figuring things out. I started calling upon people that were good at their specialty that I was getting funding for, and they kind of taught me. Guy taught me how to do a lease option because I had a flip that I couldn't get rid of in the market turn. So I just started seeing the value and getting good at that stuff. And lo and behold, some of these big companies and TV shows, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Flipping San Diego, Flipping Boston, a few other TV shows started coming for my investment funding techniques. And then more importantly, they're like, hey, we heard you're a pretty good marketer as well. So they started hiring me for that. And then the people that we touched, I've trained 24,000 people speaking for these companies for 20 years. And everyone that we touched, they started putting just some of our mini systems in place, started beating everybody to everything. And that's what kind of was a springboard from there. And then I created, which a lot of your listeners may know of it. I created a real estate automation software company called REI Black Book.
Oh yeah.
Handled pretty much like a machine, any part of the process, deal management, deal flow, deal marketing, lead generation, follow up, all that stuff. And I finally sold that about 2 or 3 years ago, about 3, maybe even 3.5 years ago. And so for the last 2.5 years, like you said, just fast forwarding, I started doing individual 2-day blueprints again for people. Because for 10 years, while I had REI Black Book, you said some of those bigger companies, I would get hired by institutional money or hedge fund level players that say, hey, we have $82 million and we need to do 1,000 homes in Houston. And can you put the systems in place for us to do that? And of course I would do that because they paid big money, right? And I still do that today. So if you fast forward to today, for the last 14, 15 years, I've been consulting, doing stuff like that. And these companies that need to do 500 homes in a market, 1,000, 1,500. Like in Texas, our blueprints, I think at last check are over 6,000 homes between 4 or 5 cities.
Wow.
But we get paid not to miss a deal. So if you can imagine, and just to educate the people listening, these bigger companies, they hire somebody, okay? They hire somebody to come in a city and be their city operator. And they say, here's $60 million, $50 million, $100 million, whatever it is. And we need to build a rental portfolio fast. Mm-hmm. And they may say, like one of the most recent ones I did was in Houston, 1,000 homes. They need to do it in 72 months. That's real pressure. So they get hired and someone will recommend me. And then I'll come in and set up their blueprint to not miss a freaking deal.
Wow.
So we suffocate a market 30 different ways. Most people know 5 or 6. And when we hit go on the one in Houston, within 6 months, we're at 384 houses, which is over 60 houses a month.
It's incredible. So you, I love the way you said that. You suffocate a market. That's a perfect, I think, transition into one of the things we're going to talk about today, which is lead generation, especially in the type of landscape that we're in. You know, we're here in South Florida, so it's a competitive market. There's a lot of people, you know, coming out of these weekend seminars that are sending direct mail and doing RBMs and cold calling and all that kind of stuff. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of marketing. You mentioned most people know five or six. You teach 32 different ways to unlock off-market, you know, lead generation and off-market deals. Can you just talk about some of the most effective ones that you've seen, regardless of the market that you're in, from a lead gen marketing channel standpoint?
Yeah, and while I'm talking to you, I'm gonna move over and click open my mind map, because that'll make it easier for me, because there's so many.
Okay,
but as an example, you know, most people know five or six, and they go into attack several different ways. And everybody uses what everybody else says and does, right? And it's kind of follow the leader. But like, most people don't know, like, there's some resources out there that can let you separate data by high equity, bad credit. I consider that a Reese's peanut butter cup, two of my favorite things. Bad credit, yet high equity, right? So we show people how to do that. Bandit signs. So we add extra wrinkles to it. Like, and I'll just give a tip. Like, yeah. Hey, bandit signs work. When that phone rings off of a bandit sign, somebody made a willful decision to call. That's one of the hottest leads ever, which I know you know. But people, they're called bandit signs because they get taken down so fast, right? So wrinkles that we've added that we've tested out in 138 markets and millions of marketing budgets, because that's what I get paid to do. One wrinkle that we add is our team came up with do nothing, get paid. So people are like, man, my bandit signs, they work, but man, I got to keep replenishing them. So we created a flyer, and in high traffic areas, we hit up a homeowner that's in a high traffic area or a business owner and say, hey, if we stick the sign in the ground and it's tracked by your extension and you don't have to do anything to get paid, hence do nothing, get paid, here's mm-hmm. our flyer. Can you just make sure it stays here? And every time we buy a house with a phone call from your sign, we'll give you $1,000. And mm-hmm. most people are like, and let me tell you, when you close one, they literally put up a fence around that thing, right? Yeah. So now all of a sudden you supersize your bandit signs longevity. So that's just one thing we do. We show people how to attack Zillow from a for sale by owner standpoint. We tell them how to make offers that we know are going to get rejected. But then we tell them, hey, we appreciate the fact you're not using a realtor to save money. If we helped you market to 20 or 30 different real estate websites for free, because I'm interested, but I appreciate the fact that we don't buy every house. We try and help people. Mm-hmm. If we help you market it, if anybody else needs help, could you send them our way? They say yes. One, we get referrals from that. But two, we're the only one that's proactively trying to help them, right? So I'm just showing you different wrinkles that we do. So yep. Twice a week we do it and try and get four people twice a week for 15 minutes at a time and say yes to that, because all their photos are there, all their verbiage is there. And we throw them into an engine that we teach people when we do blueprints and market it out there for them with our name and info on it. One, we get exposure online. Two, when nobody wants it and we call them back, by the way, they want our phone call back. So they actually answer our phone calls, because we may be calling with a buyer. When we say, hey, we'll go ahead and refresh the ad, but we haven't heard anything yet. Now you're on 20 or 30 sites. Mm-hmm. That's real heavy on their end to hear. And like, look, I'm still interested. I'll pay cash, no realtor's fees, and save you money if you're interested. And we get those deals.
So just show you. Let me hit a pause for a second, just to make sure I got it. So you guys send offers on Zillow. You know they're going to get rejected, but the idea really is to connect with them and get them to be essentially a bird dog or property finder for you, or send you referrals. And in exchange, you're going to essentially syndicate their property online to 20, 30 different websites.
Yeah, correct. And when, think about this, the homeowner, when you call them back, say, hey, look, you're not just on one or two, you're on 30 mm-hmm. and don't have a single email or phone call yet. I'll go ahead and refresh your ad, which is you being polite. And you say, hey, but I'm still interested. And when they get frustrated and decide to come down on price, no one that's listening right now, if we did that technique, no matter what you said to them, you're not going to get that deal. We are.
Yeah.
So we show you how to do that and stack that. Another thing that we do, which is the first one out of 31 that we do, we teach advanced direct mail. We teach you how to do direct mail for free. And
direct mail for free.
Yeah, you heard me. Like, imagine competing with the big players in your market overnight. You're attacking 31 different ways, and then you just drop a microphone on them of free direct mail, which means with everybody in Facebook land and podcast land, like we're doing now, hey, mail to vacants, duh. Hey, mail to pre-foreclosures and be consistent. Consistency wins the deal, duh. But imagine being in every mailbox, not just a targeted list that everybody teaches, saying, I'll pay cash for your house any condition. I need 10 minutes to see it. Mm-hmm. Feel that difference? But in the online universe, the very first thing we do, inside our blueprint, there are 16 websites that everyone listening, including myself and Alex, should be on every day at 8 a.m. doing a filtered search. Because per calendar year on each of those websites, those 16 I mentioned, there's easily two perfect deals in the zip code you want at the price you want. The problem is you won't do it. I won't do it. Nobody listening will do it because it feels like work. I've been on this website. Jason told me to do it 18 days in a row and I haven't got a deal yet. Man, it doesn't work, right? Bullshit. Here's what you need to do. You need to have a protocol in place that makes that happen, which we teach you how to do that. Yeah. Because the truth is in 365 days on each of those 16 that I mentioned, there are two perfect deals on average on each one of them per year that as soon as you see it in that zip code at that price, boom, you want it.
No brainer. Right.
But you don't have anything in place to do that.
Yeah.
So we just start stacking all these things all the way down to free direct mail, door tags. We teach people to create ink stamps that have notes on post-it notes. When you get a good lead source at 500 water disconnects, most people start cold calling, voicemail dropping, and postcards. You should do that. That should be a part of your protocol. But maybe, again, testing in 138 cities, 34,000 homes deep at this point for the big boys. Shouldn't you maybe have a protocol in place that when those leads come in, whether it's you or somebody you put on your team or somebody you just pay to do it, shouldn't you tag their door with something? Because everyone's voicemail dropping them.
Yeah.
Everyone's calling them. Mm-hmm. Everyone's texting them. Everyone's sending postcards and letters, and you should. That deal, that lead can make 50 grand, but you have the lead too. You're going to do those things. We show you what techniques win because what voicemails and all that stuff matters.
Yeah.
But imagine adding a wrinkle, and I'll just give you one of the 200 that we had tested, and I know those listening will be like, that rotten son of a bitch. Yes, that would work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Imagine tagging the door as one of your first levels of attack, which only costs 0.1 cent for everyone listening, by the way. This doesn't have to, you don't have to have a big budget to close tons of deals. But imagine putting a post-it note on the door, one of the two stamps inside the blueprint that we command you make, which you can go to Office Max and have done, and then grab post-it notes and start stamping them, that says, call me about your neighbor. Alex, what you going to do when you come home and you see a note on the door that says, call me about your neighbor? Remember, everyone's voicemail dropping them. Everyone's text me. Everyone's sending postcard letter. But I want to win the fuck. I'm going to start losing my mind and sarcastic. I want to win the freaking response game. That's all I get paid to do is win the response game. And when there's a note on their door that says, call me about your neighbor, you're like, what rotten son of a bitch is talking about me now? And it's going to eat a hole in their soul and they're going to call me. And when they're on the phone with me, I won the game. Yeah. I might be able to make 50 grand for 0.1 cent. So we walk you through 30 different ways we do it, how to get on the first page of Google for free, sell my home fast, Phoenix, sell my home fast, St. Louis, sell my home fast, Miami, a coveted space where people pay 25 grand a month for. We show you how to do that for free in less than 3 weeks. And last time I checked, people don't quit free. So imagine a world where you just blanket a market 31 different ways.
Yeah.
And you enter the market and we build out blueprints and our clients have to average 30 to 50 homes a month. We simply don't miss a deal.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think this is kind of an interesting point in this conversation to ask you kind of 30,000 foot view, how you look at marketing, because I feel like you have an unfair advantage where you work with these big companies and you get to test and hit 34,000 homes and see what works and what doesn't. When you look at marketing and people out there listening and they complain, I hear it all the time, it's a competitive market, I can't get deals, it's tough to generate more leads. And while some of that may be accurate, it is a different market than it was 3-5 years ago. How do you look at marketing, Jason, from the standpoint of, like, what are the thoughts that run through your head when you're looking at testing out a new marketing channel or when you're looking at improving an existing marketing channel? Are you asking, what does everyone do? And then how do I approach this from a completely different angle? Or what are some of the questions you ask yourself? And again, this is more of a 30,000 foot view question, just as far as how people need to be thinking about marketing.
Okay. And congrats to you. I've been asked by some of the largest companies in America what we do, and that's the first time anybody's ever asked me a question that way. Really? So here's what I would tell people. I would set a recurring appointment on your calendar for every 4 to 6 weeks, and you block out 2 hours and have with yourself, or if you have one or two people on your team or however your business is set up, have a "it's not good enough" meeting. So what we do is every 6 weeks, we sit down and comb through everything and have a "it's not good enough" meeting. And then we brainstorm on it. And then because I do have the advantage of working with some big companies, we start testing it, and we just simply see what wins. So one of the byproducts of "it's not good enough" meeting came, that's where the "do nothing, get paid, make your bandit signs last longer" came from that. Right?
Wow.
"It's not good enough" meeting. Another one is, for those that are attacking pre-foreclosure space. And like I said, you said like testing, right? Mm-hmm. I could do a 5-day blueprint instead of a 2-day blueprint and show you 3 days of shit that I know didn't work because we tried it. And some of them, I'm like, man, this is going to kill it. And it didn't.
Yeah.
And somebody thinks it's better simple, like "call me about your neighbor." Look, you're trying to get somebody to respond and make 50 grand. So please, by all means, keep pushing your marketing budget up and just be consistent, because everybody in YouTube land and Facebook tells you to be consistent. And let your marketing budget fly out of control. That's fine. I'm going to put one post-it note on the door, and they're going to be like, "what neighbor's talking about me?" and call me. And then we teach people how to flip them on the phone into an appointment, right?
Yeah.
So no. We test those things. We have a "it's not good enough" meeting. Like one example for pre-foreclosure space, everybody says, "hey, look, I'm interested in your house. I think you might be in a situation, or before you lose your house and have a foreclosure on your credit report, I'd like to pay cash for it and put some cash in your pocket so you don't walk with nothing." That's what everybody does. Mm-hmm. That's a hot lead, and you should do that. You should be consistent. You should call, mail, this, that. You should, but what you do matters. So one of the byproducts of the "it's not good enough" meeting is we don't even say that we're going to buy their house. We teach them, "hey, we are your pre-foreclosure advocate. We don't think this process is fair, and we may be able to stop your foreclosure with as little as one phone call." We only have the capacity to try and help 20 people a week. So if you're interested, we want to try and do everything we can to keep you in your property. Mm-hmm. And where everybody else is setting up with cash in your pocket, they call us.
Yeah.
And then we sit down at their house with them and call the bank in front of them and go through a list of questions that we already know, because I'm a banker, the bank's going to say no to. But here's the thing, and if you're listening at home, I hope this really sinks in. Where you guys all say, "I put cash in your pocket," we, in front of their face, call the bank, and we already have inside the blueprint a list of 5-6 questions that you ask. The bank's going to be, "hey, can we do a loan modification?" "No." "Can we throw the payments on the back end?" "No." "Can we do this?" "No." "Is there anything we can do?" "No." Unless you come up with $11,412.62 in 18 days, we're foreclosing and selling this house at auction, right? So when I hang up the phone, first of all, I'm sitting with a homeowner because they responded to me. I won the game again, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Response rate, right? A better approach. But here's what I know, and I hope that you're listening at home. I know that they know that I know that they know that the bank said that there's nothing else we can do. So I don't have to leave that appointment and have them lie to me and follow up saying, "hey, I'm still trying to figure something out." I already know that it ain't going to work. I already, mm-hmm. after I get off the phone with them, I'm like, can you come up with the money? No. Hey, do you have a 401k? No. Can you sell something? No. Do you have a family member? No. So I know in that moment, I'm like, look, in 18 days, you're moving.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not.
I'm trying to help you. Look, I'm trying to help get them to stop it. They don't want to play ball. I'm here. Why don't you walk the house with me? Let me go run some numbers. I don't know if I can help you or not. Let me run some numbers. And I will, as a hardcore backup plan, mm-hmm. I will give you an offer to buy the house, put some cash in your pocket, and we can work on maybe giving you extra time to move, because in 18 days, you do not have a choice. And folks, remember, you at home are pre-foreclosures or hot leads. You guys are still mailing because consistency wins. Consistency wins. They actually called me because I tried to stop their foreclosure. The bank said no, and they can't lie to me. How much time and energy have I transcended now of not having to do mailing after mailing after mailing after mailing, phone call, voicemail, text message, and they lie to you because they're in denial. I'm still working on them. So they can't say that to me.
Right, right.
And just what I see, you know, the clear advantage you have is you've positioned yourself as a trusted advisor. You know, you've gone above and beyond for these people. You're hopping on the phone with them. You're walking them through the process, and you're essentially helping them see what they may not see or what they refuse to see is that right now they don't have any other options. And that's where potentially you become their option, you know?
Well, and sometimes you stop foreclosure. People are like, well, what if they say yes to it? Perfect. You have a testimonial and referrals for life. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah. Anybody that asked that question is just approaching this business the wrong way. You got to be in this to genuinely help people, at least from my perspective. And so, you know, like you said, you can't lose.
Yeah. And in the 31 ways that we suffocate a market, I don't think it's any secret. Our tax delinquent is my favorite source of all time. We destroy it. Light years ahead of what everybody else does.
Can you share why that is? loaded question. Hey, you don't ask, you don't get, right?
It's literally so valuable. At some point, we're pulling it out of our blueprint. But I'll just give you the premise. Everybody says, "Hey, before you get a tax liens and judgments and lose your house a tax sale, let me put money in your pocket." We have a full blown, built out approval process, start to finish, you name it. That is a tax assistance program where we use TAC code 424001. And some people are going to re-listen to this and you can't find it on Google. So good luck to you. Mm-hmm. But we have a full-blown tax assistance program where we walk them through approval and denial process. And it works like wildfire. If you search on Facebook for #2Day Blueprint or #TaxDelinquentBlueprint, see the response rates. People say a 2% response rate on my direct mail. Not when your shit wins. We have one guy who got I think it was 5 weeks removed from his mail drop, a 40.2% response.
What? 40% response rate?
I know. Yeah. And I know people at home are calling bullshit. Look it up online. I don't give a crap. We're killing it. I just did one because, you know, I just moved down here to Florida closer to you. Mm-hmm. We just did one of the tax delinquent sandbox, and 3 weeks removed, we were at a 21% response rate versus a 2%.
That's ridiculous. That's sick. That's so
sick. It's nasty stuff.
Wow. And how many of those are sick? What was that, Jason?
I said, remember what I said. I get paid for response rate. Everybody said, I need more ways to get off market leads. That's academic to us. We'll show you 30 something ways. But the real game begins when we click open the tab called the systematic attack. Like, what do we do first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth to win the response game? Our first six levels cost less than a dollar. Like, no one else I know can say that unless we've done a blueprint for them.
And when you do a blueprint for people, are you recommending that they deploy off 30 something marketing channels, or do you advise, focus on, you know, these, you know, you start
two
with
or two. Three.
Okay.
Two or three. And in fact, we have that already buttoned up. So inside the blueprint, we have a mind map. This isn't training manual and guru land stuff. We have a mind map that lives outside your brain that you click and just follow and do your job. One of the tabs that we have in there that people, I thought it was academic, but even people that we had last month that are doing 20 to 30 deals a month, most people come trying to go from 0 to 2 to 4 to 5 or 5 to 10. But we have people in there that want to do hedge fund level stuff that are already doing 30. And there's a tab called the Perfect Investor Day. So we walk them through, what do you do first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, all the way down to what technique, how many times you do it, and how long it should take you, right? Mm. But in there, it clearly states as like number 8 of 9 things you do. And by the way, if you run the perfect day, you can get it done in 2.5 hours. This doesn't have to take long.
Yeah.
But there's one there that addresses what you just said. It says, work on one at a time. And I stress to them as we're building out how they're going to take over their market. I'm like, this is called the perfect day. It is staring you in the face. And it says, number 8 says, work on one at a time. Because I know half the people that we train go, screw Jason. I'm going to go home and implement like Spider-Man and swing my lead generation web all over the city in 2 days or 2 weeks. You don't do it that way. You work on one at a time. So I say focus on 2 or 3, get those running, and then add 2 or 3 more. And lo and behold, within a month or two, you have 15 to 20, and you never have a lead problem.
Got it. And many of these that obviously you've already touched on some of them, many of these are free or low cost. It's not like people out there need to have a huge marketing budget to deploy a lot of these, right?
Correct. Half of them, half the techniques over 16 years of drilling down and finding ways to make it better and cheaper. Half the techniques we put in place are free, all the way down to free direct mail. Example, just to kind of give you a benchmark, my primary market is always going to be St. Louis, even though we don't live there anymore. We'll close anywhere from 8 to 10 to 12 deals a month, and we'll spend anywhere on a marketing budget from $500 all the way up to $3,000. Our competitors and friends of mine in St. Louis that close 10 deals a month plus, there's two or three of them, they're friends of mine. They spend $15,000 to $30,000 because they do a huge direct mail push because direct mail wins. And but we do it for a fraction of the cost because we can do it for free. Our post-it note attack costs 0.1 cent. When they call you, your marketing budget stops when they call you off of your first level of attack. It's just no one has the protocols in place to do the right things in the right order. And that's where marketing budgets spiral out of control. And they're like, well, you know, but I was on YouTube for 6 months learning and they said to be consistent. Well, maybe have a better protocol and you don't have to, you get the response faster, cheaper, and you don't have to do that.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing as well is that you've eliminated the waste, right? Because you and I both know people that send 20, 30, 50,000 postcards a month and they're getting 0.5% response rate at best, which means that most of those marketing dollars are going in the toilet. And even though they might be in the black, there's still a lot of waste there, you know?
Yeah, correct. Direct mail works. It wins. But when you're doing it like that and it's just a unregulated shotgun approach. And I always tell people, look, you could spend 10 to 20 to 30 grand a month, just like these big players. And even if you've never done it before, and I know it'll make you scared, if you did that, you would get deals. Okay. You would get deals because you're forcing your way into deals.
Yeah.
You're doing it so heavy, so hard that you're forcing your way into deals. And guess what? These big companies that give me big budgets that I've worked with and put stuff in place. I do a lot of that stuff, but over the years I've refined it. Half the people that come that we do a blueprint for that are looking to go from 5 to 10 or 10 to 20 are coming there. They're like, hey, look, I talked to two or three of your references and they said that you could knock my $25,000 a month budget well over in half. Mm. Like I have one guy out of Portland, his name's Joe. And we're going through a blueprint and, you know, most people in the room are getting started or are doing a deal a month and they want to go to 3 to 4 and they're looking at him like, holy cow, why is he here? He's doing 20 or 30. And he stopped class twice. He goes, hey, that technique he just said, he goes, that's going to save me $5,000 a month. He goes, oh, hey, that technique he just showed me. He goes, when I go back and I talk to my team, that's going to save me $7,000 a month. And he's there to get better and close more deals with less effort too. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it, man. Well, as we start to kind of wind down the show in the next 5 to 10 minutes or so, I want to pivot over to closing deals because you and I both know is that, you know, you can generate all the leads in the world, but if you don't know what to do with them, if you don't know how to close them, it's kind of all for naught, right? So talk to me about, you know, how you negotiate deals, how you close deals once all these start coming into your pipeline. And I realize that's a very vague general question, but we can start to kind of drill down as you get going.
Sure. So I always tell everybody, like, hey, when we build out your blueprint and we unlock 30 sources on day one, everybody thinks they need lead generation. And within the first five, they're like, oh my God, I'm going to have so many leads. So that's over, right? And I say, hey, the real game is the response tab, the systematic attack, the 6 ways for less than a dollar to win the game. I already gave you a couple tips, right? So I said, now that all that's done, on day two, we talk about scalability and leverage. How do we scale this up and make it run better? But then my big one is negotiations. I've trained tons of teams across the nation, thousands of appointments. We have a seller waltz. So we have a 4-minute seller waltz that we teach you. Most people say, and I'm sure at home this sounds familiar, hey, I know you want 100 grand for the house. I'm closer to 75. I'm still super interested. But if anything changes, can I be the first person you call back? Because I'll close fast and pay cash. When I teach negotiations, I teach negotiations for the state of Illinois. I tell everybody, I'm like, here's what you said. Hey, it's not about you. It's about me. If you can come down to a number that makes me happy, call me. And they wonder why they're not stacking 5 to 10 to 15 deals a month. Yeah. So we throw that crap out the window and we say, hey, look, always assume they're going to be at a higher price because that's what's going to happen. The moment that happens, we teach them a seller waltz that identifies 9 different ways to turn a no into a yes. And 2 of the techniques to turn that no into the yes don't even involve them, you at home, having the house under contract yet. So basically we show you 2 techniques to make money out of thin air that people don't have in place as their protocol. And so mm-hmm. you walk out the door, we come in behind you and we close it when you should have closed it. Right now, I'll give you a couple of the tech, I'll give you one or two of the techniques. One of them is we work them down on the cash offer side. We always blame it on our boss so that, in the appointment, nothing sticks to us. We still get the deals on the spot, right? Contracts, but you blame it on your boss, so nothing sticks to you. Hey, I'll talk to my boss, right? So after we go cash, even if we wanted it, the number that we got them down to, let's say it's 90, and I'll tell them, hey, I think my boss might be closer to 80, but I'm not sure, but I'll find out real fast. Mm-hmm. Just in case, we work with people other different ways. I might be able to give you that original 90 to 100 you're looking for. My boss may say, let's do it if you're open to owner financing. So everybody listening goes, okay, Jason, I've heard the owner financing technique, but let me break it down a little bit deeper. Okay. This is shit that people don't do. So let's say they're stuck at 90. All of us would probably want to try and get it at 80. So what will we all do? We would say, thanks for your time, and half-heartedly follow up. And after 2, 3, 4 weeks or a month or two, you say they're really not motivated. And that's mm-hmm. that's what you have in place at home. So we show you in the seller wallets, every yes or no answer means something to us. So if they say they're open to owner financing, we tell them, where everybody else is trying to get it to 80, including you, Alex, we'll owner finance it at 90. So 10 grand above what the entire investor nation said, well, for this deal, for what we want to do, we need to get it at 80. And let's say even I agree. Mm-hmm. But if you know how to do things in a different manner, then you make deals out of thin air. This isn't one of the two that I said out of thin air, but I'll go ahead and do it at 90. If they say they're open to it, I'm like, hey, let me tell my boss, we might be able to get you that 90 if you're open to owner financing. But here's what we're going to do. We're also going to add in wrinkles, and we teach you how to structure the deal. Structuring makes you money. So mm-hmm. we're going to say, hey, look, yeah, my boss will give you what you want if you just simply want a number. If you just want your number, we'll get you that number and maybe even a little more and some interest and stuff. As long as we can get good terms like 0, 1, 2% interest, then you'll get all your money and then some. But I'll tell my boss you're open to it. Here's why. We're going to structure it and work them down to a good interest rate. And then where all you guys leave trying to get it at 80 and everyone in the investor world agreed for what you want to do, you want it at 80, we'll go ahead and do it at 90 at 0, 1, 2% interest rate. And then I'll market it out there and say, overpay by 10 grand on this house. See why. And then I'll say, hey, landlords, if you'd like to pay this house off in 1/3 of the time versus you going to the bank right now and getting 5.5 to 7, 6.5, 7% interest rate, because we're going to make the note and the deed assumable. Take over this note and deed at a 1.75 interest rate and pay the cash flow instantly and pay this house off fast. So everybody else tried to get it at 80. We got it at 90, sold it for 110. And let's say the market for the house is 100. We'll sell it for over market because they know they're going to cash flow instantly and pay the house off in 1/3 of the time.
You so structured you investors.
Correct. And so now every landlord in town would want that. It's called a unicorn loan because those don't exist.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's interesting, man. I remember years ago when I got started in this business back in 05, 06, you know, somebody asked me, they said, hey, this house is worth 100. I'm asking 100. Are you interested? I'd be like, hell no. Like, how does anybody make money on that? And then I quickly learned that, you know, your price, my terms. So you can make money on those deals all day long. But like you said, most investors just kind of throw it in the trash. Matter of fact, something Adrian and I have talked about that we've been guilty of is at times just being one trick ponies. You know, if you go into a seller's house or you're on the phone and you only have one way to help them, and that's, you know, buying their house at a deep, deep discount, you're losing out on so much opportunity, especially in this market. Yeah.
And it's funny you said that because Adrian's a good friend of mine too. And I know you guys work together. I remember him when he was stuck. I remember him when he paid $50,000 in training, and he'll tell you. Mm-hmm. And I called him out in front of all the students. I'm like, hey, you got good knowledge and you talk a good game, but can we be honest? I go, you're still running in place because you don't know what to do first, second, third, fourth. And I go, so here's your opportunity in front of everybody. I go, if you want real help, ask me for it, and I'm really going to help you. And to his credit, he goes, you're right. I'm just posturing. He goes, I'm just running in circles. And some of those techniques that we're talking about taught him and got him. I'm proud to say that I helped him get out of his own way and quit his six-figure job. And now he works with you and he's free. But mm-hmm. When you're a one-trick pony, you're leaving so much money on the table. So I always preach to him to get him out of his own way. Sometimes I have to remind him of that. So I'm glad that you guys have conversations about it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Definitely appreciate that. Last couple questions for you. And this has been super awesome. And I love lead generation and systems and negotiations talk. So what's the one piece of advice you'd share with yourself? The 15, rewind the clock 15, 20 years, knowing everything you know now about not just business, but life. What's the one piece of advice you'd share with the 20 or 25 year old Jason Palliser?
One of the big things is, I would say two things. I would share that you have to put a real process in place. Otherwise, you know, I was helter skelter, just running around trying everything. You have to put a real process in place so you know what your day looks like. You have to set benchmarks for yourself. I'm going to do this many times and track the results. So without that, everything is happenstance and you're always looking for that next XYZ instead of actually having things in place, staring you in the face and say, I'm going to fine tune these things and see what's working and what's not, and actually on purpose, incrementally make it better. So that's one thing I would say. And then number two is, everybody wants to be a millionaire. You know, when you're young, getting started, I want this, I want X amount of money and be a millionaire. Being a millionaire means nothing. Here's what means something. Putting things in place to get consistent expected results that makes you chunks of money, and then cash flow. You could be a $10,000 earner and that's all you got. But if you have more money coming in than what you can possibly spend a month, then you're freaking free. So where I was chasing way back when to be a millionaire, because that's what everybody wants to be, and I certainly am now. But that means nothing to me. That doesn't buy me happiness today to go see a movie and have a good time, whether I'm a millionaire or have 10 grand in the bank. What buys me freedom, knowing that I can just say not today and do whatever the hell I want, is that I have more money coming in on purpose than my bills. So I would say focus. If I could have focused on that, I would have been free, 10 times earlier. So those are things that if I could go back in time and slap myself, that's what I would do.
Well, hopefully you virtually slap some people listening to this podcast that need to hear that message, because I find so many people are out there trying to live somebody else's life because they see it on Facebook or Instagram, and they don't know the behind the scenes, you know? And sometimes it's, they think they want that. But that's not truly what they want. They're living somebody else's dream, somebody else's life and vision. So glad to hear you end on that note, brother. How do people connect with you if they want to find out more about these blueprints that you do, want to get their hands on the 20-something other ways to generate leads and some of your training on negotiations? What's the best place to connect with you?
So they can go to the number 2. So 2dayblueprint.com. It's got info on there. You'll see what other people say about us. And again, as we're kind of finishing up, don't forget, for 10 years, you couldn't hire me. We did this for big companies. I had 200 support emails a day for my REI Black Book automation software. I just didn't have time to. So now that we started doing it again, you'll see what other people just like you say about when we get our hands on them. But just go to the number 2dayblueprint.com. Or search on Facebook for hashtag number 2 day blueprint or hashtag seller waltz, and you'll see what everyone else on earth says. We actually don't even let people schedule a blueprint with us until they've talked to at least one or two people that we've worked with, because we sincerely only want like serious people that really want to kill their market. And we only do one blueprint a month. And depending on what my team has going on, we do as little as 5 clients, maybe up to 15 plus a guest. But once we get our hands on you, it's over. This isn't training manuals and taking a bunch of notes. Fly into town, bring some beer, kick back and relax, because everything's buttoned up in a mind map that will never forget anything. I had a guy from Texas go, am I going to get that map? I'm like, yep. With everything in place, yep. Just like all the notes, yep. All the technique, like, yep. He goes, can I drink beer? I'm like, yes, you can. Like, we've got you covered. Once you're on our team, you're on our team. So vastly different than anything that I know out there, and speaking for all the TV shows and all that stuff, usually when we're done training, you can't talk to you anymore. Once you're on our team, you're on our team. You'll be in our private Facebook group. It's natural that you'll have questions. It's natural when you do an owner financing deal the way that we want. You're probably going to want us to help you structure it. Once you're on our team, you're on our team. We'll answer your questions till the day we die. All we ask in return is that you refer us more clients, because we don't advertise. So I have all these gurus on Facebook scheduling phone calls with me or cutting me out of their group. So like, man, you get tagged 30 times a day in our group. It's because our shit kills markets. That's why.
Yeah, you're delivering.
So, but yeah, we can help you do it for a drastically reduced budget. It's all buttoned up for you. You don't have to remember anything. You just execute all the way down to your perfect day and how many times you do it and how much time it should take you. And the cool thing is the way we set up your systems and free softwares on the back end, you can actually just add more cities and duplicate it in multiple cities with one click of a button. So we got you covered, and we'll send you back to your market with bricks tied to your fist.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, thank you for, you know, I'll tell you the three or four things I really got out of this. And that's, I think that's one of the benefits people don't realize is I get to host this podcast and I get to learn just alongside everybody else. I absolutely love the, it's not a good enough meeting. Because I'm always preaching to my team that we need to raise the standard and raise the bar. And just the fact that you guys have a scheduled, it's not a good enough meeting. Even though something's working and it's working well, you're challenging it and you're tweaking it, modifying it, trying to make it better. I love that mindset just in and of itself. So appreciate
it. That's how we got down to free direct mail. We're like, not good enough. I mean, we got direct mail down to 32 cents. That's less than a stamp. And everybody's like, wow. And we're like, not good enough. And then we tweaked and tested and unlocked ways to do it for free.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love it, brother. Thank you, man. I'm glad we had a chance to reconnect. Glad that Adrian hooked us up here. And guys, definitely recommend you reach out to Jason, follow him on social, go to the number 2dayblueprint.com, right, Jason?
Yeah. And if you want to email me, I forgot about that. You can just email me. It's jason@goseejason.com. So jason@goseejason.com, and happy to talk to you. But, whatever number of deals you're doing, we can increase that for sure, systematically, on purpose, and reduce your marketing budget. I'm sure a few of the takeaways that you took notes on today are going to help already, but yep. Imagine a world where you're on the first page of Google for free, doing free direct mail, and you get a massive response on your first level of attack that costs 0.1 cent. At that point, it's not fair.
Yeah. Amazing, brother. Well, man, keep kicking ass. Glad we reconnected. I know we'll stay in touch, and I appreciate it, guys. So like I always say, as we wrap it up, just take one or two of these things. One of the things I'm going back with is it's not good enough meeting. And within the next 5 to 7 days, we'll have our first meeting on that and just continue to push the envelope, right? So I just encourage you, take one or two things and implement it. You know, even if you don't reach out to Jason for whatever reason, take one of these things, whether it's the bandit sign or the pre-foreclosure, tax delinquent, test it out. And if you're consistent, see what I did there, Jason? You'll get results, right? So talk to you guys soon. Appreciate you.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.